report is expected to say that staff at Walsall Manor Hospital could have prevented the death of an abused toddler. 16-month-old Kyle Keane died in 2006 from a brain bleed. He'd been shaken by his stepfather, Tyrone Matthews. Matthews later jailed for 6.5 years for manslaughter. Now, the week before Kyle died, nurses and a junior doctor saw suspicious bruises on his body and wanted to refer it to the council, but a consultant at the hospital overruled them. Kyle's natural father is Robert Keane.
Well, he'd be 9 now, and I can just see him there. I still think he would be how he was when he was younger. Still see him with his cheek. I think he would still be how I'd with his sister. I think that would have been nice to see. But, of course, I never will. All of us, it's just... I don't know how you explain it. I mean, one thing, we never get an over it at all. It's had a big, massive, big impact on all of us. Daughter, mum, brother, all my family. It's just really can't imagine. I couldn't believe it completely. I know nothing about it at all. And all this just through that, what they at the time tried to say, one little mistake, nobody passing on, referring Kyle's now to social services, and he'd still be alive.
David Drew was a consultant at Walsall Manor Hospital and treated Kyle on the night that he died. He was later dismissed for gross misconduct when he blew the whistle on his concerns about the case. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pete.
What failings did you see then in your time?
Specifically over Kyle's case, is that? Well, I'm sorry, I've got a bit of a frog in my throat this
That's
morning.
Cool.
But, right from the very beginning, because I was head of department at that time and I was the consultant on call when Kyle died, from day one, it was quite clear that an opportunity had been missed in the previous week and that this little boy had suspicious, unexplained bruising, which, according to the policy, mandated a referral to social services so that the circumstances in the family could be investigated. Mm. That's the first thing. The second thing is that a number of the consultant's colleagues, medics and nurses, told him that this case had to be referred to social services for investigation, but he completely overruled that and said that he didn't. In fact, even after the day after Kyle had been sent home, a senior doctor in the department suggested that a late referral be made, and Dr. Walia, the consultant at the time, refused to do that. So that was the opportunity, in fact a series of opportunities, to get Kyle to social services, which I have no doubt myself, I've never had any doubt, and I think that the report today will confirm that would almost certainly have saved this little boy's life.
How can it happen, David, that if one doctor or, a couple of nurses bring up concerns that one member of staff, admittedly a senior member of staff, can just overrule them?
Well, it would have to be someone who doesn't listen. And in this case... that was the problem. This consultant, I raised concerns about him at the time and subsequently. This would never have happened. I was the head of the department. I knew all my consultants that I was managing. Mm. This wouldn't have happened with any other consultant in the department at the time because they were all good listeners. And even just to protect their own backs, they would have done as the nurses and doctors asked and referred. But this particular doctor, he wasn't good at listening, and also subsequently on repeated occasions he was reported to the West Midlands Deanery by trainees for not listening to them, for being unsupportive, and for outright bullying. Now the trust knew about all these reports. I've got correspondence with the medical director and with the deanery. The deanery did nothing and the hospital did nothing to address these issues. Mm. And so they continued.
When you made that decision to blow the whistle...
Yes.
Did you think it would end the way it did?
Oh, good heavens, no. No. In fact, It's the same for all whistleblowers. You don't think you're blowing the whistle. You just think that you're doing the right thing. And then it escalates and escalates. And in my case, the trust became absolutely paranoid about this, about Kyle's death, and started to accuse me of leaking information to the press, which was completely untrue. I was accused of stealing correspondence with relation to the case. That got me suspended. It was all completely untrue, and it was all part of the cover-up, which has resulted in this family not knowing what happened to their son for 8 years.
There's been a lot of talk about whistleblowers, I mean, particularly, and certainly in hospitals, with the mid-staffs inquiry and everything that went along with that. I know, is it right you've been down to London to see Jeremy Hunt to talk about this issue of people standing up and, as you say, just saying what they think is the right thing?
Yes. I was one of a group of six whistleblowers who met with Jeremy Hunt yesterday. We told him a load of horrific stories about what's happening when staff raise serious concerns, including about avoidable deaths like Kyle's, and the way that senior management, the trusts, the trust boards react and retaliate, and it often, as in all of our six cases, ends up in dismissal. And this is the culture which is prevailing in the worst parts of the NHS at the present time.
So there is the chance, then, that whilst other cases may not end in death,
yes,
the sad case of Kyle could be the tip of an iceberg here.
It could be, and even with respect to this particular doctor's practice, we have no idea what he's been doing over the last 8 years. Now, on average, a consultant is only going to see a couple of children die of abuse in his working lifetime. Mm. So, obviously, you wouldn't expect that to be repeated with him again, but in terms of the quality of his work and the decisions that he's making, we have absolutely no idea, because that doctor, despite my initial concerns in June 2006, that doctor has never been investigated. In fact, the documentation from the hospital shows that he was suspended from child protection duties, and that was at my request, but then, for no good reason, he suddenly appears back on the child protection duty rota without having been investigated, assessed, or any faults remedied at all. And that was because the trust had only one consideration, and that was to get him back to work and get the whole thing quietened down. That's exactly what happened.
David, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Good to speak to you. David Drew there. Now, it's expected, the report that's going to come out today, it's expected that that will say that the NHS Trust, which runs Walsall Manor Hospital, has made considerable efforts to improve safeguarding, and there is evidence of progress.